Reconsider pets, people.
Reconsider pets. Well, I say that about children frequently. I say that about children very frequently.
Just think twice. Reconsider. Think twice. Hello, everyone. I'm Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, the show where we make today make sense, if we can.
If we can. We try. We do our best. I'm Kyle Risdahl. Yeah. It is Friday. It is Happy Hour Friday. Economics on Tap is the moniker that we use. And here we are.
It is so exciting. In the YouTube, I have the YouTube live chat up in front of me, and then I've got the Discord chat over here, and everyone is saying hello, and it is absolutely delightful. This is the best part of the week, is to just chill out and be like, what's everyone drinking? Parish Brewish Company, Brewing Company's Strawberry Cane Break Wheat Ale with strawberries. Nope, that's too many words.
Oh, I almost
Ballast
got a,
Point
I
Aloha
went to the store last
Sculpin.
Night.
Yeah.
Sculpin's very good. I almost got a Voodoo Ranger last night, but instead opted for a Stone Viking Space Probe. They're double IPA. It's quite delicious. I mistakenly only brought one into the shed with me. I don't know what I was thinking.
I don't know if Tim in Orange County is having this right now, but says that he is super down for some boba and popcorn chicken, which I think sounds perfect.
Tim, you're banished.
Perfect. A Friday.
Banished.
Red wine from Michael in Houston. Castaway.
Please
a whole bunch of IPAs
anymore.
That I don't care about.
Sorry.
Vodka martini with blue cheese stuffed olives. Valen, now we're talking.
Ooh. Oh, really?
Now
with blue
we're
cheese
talking.
Olives?
Ooh, damn fantastic.
You know,
Aperol Spritz.
Today. I should have had a bourbon. Oh, yeah.
I am very excited. I had a little extra time today. I finished the tech show on the early side, and I made myself a Batanga in our new swag, the Marketplace
except
Liquid Assets.
Except it's embargoed.
I know. It's wrong-handed. It's a what?
Okay. Mm. It's embargoed. Nobody say anything about this until the 4th of May.
Seriously?
Never mind.
They sent it to me.
Yes.
God bless America.
God.
I'm so bad at stuff. Well, the good
Shut
news
the
is,
front door.
On this side, you can't.
There you go. It's a thing. Okay. Anywho, so that's what I'm drinking.
Sneak
that's
peek.
What Molly's drinking. Stephanie Patterson's about to get really irritated with us.
But
let's
is so
do the
delicious.
News. Okay.
Let's.
So, you know, wait. All right. Actually, for people who are new, the recipe for the Batanga, please.
Oh, yes. The recipe for the Batanga, for those of you who have not heard of it before, because it has been a minute since I actually took the time to make one. It's really difficult.
Yeah.
It's Mexican Coke. It has to be Mexican Coke, the kind in the bottle, not the cans with the high fructose corn syrup. Tequila, lime juice, fresh squeezed, and salt. That's it. The world's greatest drink.
Boom.
You're welcome.
There you go. There you go.
I'm so excited for all of you to experience it. It's so great.
Well, you always get a bunch of love when you tell people how to make that drink. So there we go.
So
okay, so you have to go first on the news because mine is more thematic, but it plays off of yours. So go ahead.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Well, the first thing, I'm going to do this in sort of reverse order of listing in the rundown. One is
that's good.
I just spent some time reading about Google's plan for the future of work and what they're going to do with their workplaces to make them more sort of like pandemic friendly and bring people back to their super fancy offices that have always been incredibly over the top and have like all this over the top food and like they force the freaking open floor plan on us that nobody wanted and no one likes. And now they got to try to undo that because, you know, viruses. And it is typically utterly over-designed. Like instead of just, you know, you almost have to read it just because it's like some sort of weird office porn that at some point includes like outdoor like tents and then an inflatable balloon wall that wheels into place in situations that require more privacy. Like just give people offices, just give them like well-ventilated offices. And also then it notes in the story that 70% of the office workers don't even want to come back to work. So like you go crazy with your unlimited money. Go. You do you.
Yep.
It's just, you got, that's it. That's all.
For sure.
That's the trenchant commentary on that one. However, a thing that has been happening at companies, all of them, including ours, is reckonings of various types, right? Like all kinds of people at every company are holding their companies to account for the way that they treat their employees, for the way that they present themselves in public. This isn't happening everywhere, but it's happening in a lot of places. And tech companies in particular have been sort of struggling, maybe more publicly than others. I don't know, or it's just like my Twitter feed, around how to deal with this. For example, as the entire world was freaking out about Facebook spreading misinformation and having all these like upsetting conversations about stopping the steal and, you know, politics and partisanship, Mark Zuckerberg actually went so far as to shut down internal Facebook. Like to say, on internal Facebook, you can't fight about politics because it's too distracting. Yeah. So there's this like keep work thing.
Right.
And Coinbase, not that long ago, before its IPO, which is, of course, the big cryptocurrency exchange, its CEO put out an internal blog post saying, hey, guys, let's not talk about politics at work. It's too divisive. It's distracting. We're just going to keep work for work. And, you know, there was the kind of expected response, which was, that must be nice. Like, it must be nice if you are not, you know, one of the things that Kimberly Adams says and has said that hit me really hard was like, she said, there's no interaction in my life in which I am not black, in which my blackness is not a part of that interaction, whether it's like shopping in a store, getting a loan, buying a coffee, walking down the street, passing a police officer, never not black. And so it is easy for CEOs of companies who may not be people of color and who are likely men to say, like, let's just make work for work. And it hasn't always gone over that well. And then this week, Basecamp tried it. And Basecamp, if you're not familiar, is sort of like they make like enterprise software to organize your work. Like you can set up a shared project and this and that. And Basecamp, ironically, is a company that I think has like published a bunch of books about how to have great workplaces, that, you know, it's like the whole deal is reducing stress and improving cohesion. And then when employees started to call out the founders of Basecamp for, among other things, maintaining a list of customers with quote unquote funny names, most of which were non-English, aka funny names. So people are best names ever, sorry, was the title of the list. Many of them, according to The Verge, were of American or European origin, but others were Asian or African. And eventually the list began to make people uncomfortable. So there was discussion about the list, how the company should behave. And then as a result, the CEO announced Tuesday of this week that Basecamp would be banning societal and political discussions on its internal chat forums. And today, evidently, a third of its employees quit. Took buyouts. They had like an all-hands meeting, and it seems as though the, you know, CEO of Basecamp was like, well, if you don't want to work here, we'll offer you a buyout. Those leaving include the head of design, the head of marketing. This is people who have posted on Twitter that they're leaving, and so there's a running list. Head of customer support, lead iOS developer, and many, many others who were just like, okay.
Yeah.
We're out.
Yeah.
And I would, and actually, producer Stephanie Hughes made the really good point earlier that probably a lot more people would have left Coinbase if it was not pre-IPO, like a few months pre-IPO, right? So I wonder if they will start to see an exodus now. But it just to me points to the fact that like that's not where we are. It is messy. It is exhausting. It is
exactly
frustrating
for
bosses. But there's no more difference between your work self and your self self.
This country is in a different place. So the reason you went first is because, number one, you beat me to it because I didn't get around to putting my stuff in there until 3:20. And props to you because I was going to do Basecamp. But I was going
to
do Basecamp with a bullet.
That means we agree.
That's right. Oh, totally. 100%. But here's my addendum to that. And it's from Mitch McConnell, who is, of course, the Republican leader in the United States Senate, who yesterday sent a letter to the Secretary of Education, Miguel Cardona, urging him, and this is a quote from the newspaper, to remove the New York Times 1619 project from federal grant programs. And McConnell says in this letter, the 1619 project, quote, puts ill-informed advocacy ahead of historical accuracy, end of quote. And first of all, that's nonsense, right? Mm-hmm. Second of all, I would encourage everybody who hears this podcast, up to and including the Senate Minority Leader, if he listens, to actually check out the 1619 podcast because it's a remarkable piece of journalism and historical work. But the point being that the culture wars now are being manifested, not only in political America, where you kind of expect it in some deeply, deeply, deeply cynical way, but also in corporate America. Witness Basecamp and Coinbase, and oh, no, no, we can't talk about this now. And it's just, it's misguided to think that by not talking about this, everything's going to be okay. That's, look, that's crazy. And cards on the table here. I'm a Norwegian stoic, don't talk about stuff guy, but this is craziness, you know?
Yeah. Right? We've made it Kai just, uncomfortable it, probably over the last year or so.
Right. It can't be. It can't be. Mm-hmm. We will never get past all of the burdens we have in this country today by not talking about it. So I'm really glad you picked Basecamp, and Mitch McConnell kind of fit right into that. And I just...
It really does. Just,
yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
It really does.
That's
and
what
it's
I
mean. It's...
Yeah.
I mean... For as much as the culture wars and partisan politics are not our lane, thank goodness, they are because no one's making these distinctions anymore. And you can say that it's because we've all spent a year or so working from home and there is no line anymore between work and life. Oh, that's God. True. But it's also it also may just have to be. It may just have to be the case that everyone brings their whole self everywhere they go. And that is, in fact, what representation looks like. It doesn't just look like a bunch of people who only ever talk about work at work, you know, and don't use their self to inform their experiences. And then, yes, this question of what we teach and when and how as sort of a partisan plank, it's real messy is what it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Can you hear that, like, weed whacker in the background? Should I close the doors and windows here?
Yeah, a little bit.
Is that a problem?
I mean, you know, are you going to, like, suffocate? Okay.
Well, I might.
It's still only April.
All right. So Drew Jostad, do your thing with this thing, and I'm gonna close the doors and windows.
Do your thing with the sting is, like, the best thing.
Did I just say that? Sorry.
Do your thing with the sting is the best thing I ever
that's
heard.
That's true. All right.
That was wonderful.
Windows and doors are closed. Sorry, I'm coming in.
All right, cool.
All right.
We'll see. Then we'll be like, we'll be pithy with this game called Half Full, Half Empty.
It's all good.
Yeah. Welcome back. Sounds much better.
Yes. Good. I mean, you can still hear him because this is a paper-thin, uninsulated whatever. Anyway, so all y'all know the game, right? Half full, half empty. Jostad's Revenge is what we have come to call it. Drew Jostad down in L.A. is going to read us some topics. We will let you know our predictions and other thoughts on each one. So let's hit it.
Are you half full or half empty on the Disaster Girl NFT?
Oh, wow.
I mean, you know what? NFTs should do some damn good in the world. Let me look up the details of this so that we can get it right. Because
so you'll know the picture. It's this maybe she's like 8 or 9 year old girl standing
just a baby.
On a street, and in the she is, and in the background, out of focus, is a building on fire with a fire engine right there. And it turns out, actually, the picture is really shocking because this girl has just a demonic smile on her face. But really, it's completely innocent because it was the fire department doing a test, and her dad said to this girl, "Hey, turn around and smile." And she smiled, and as eight-year-olds sometimes do, she gave a little quirky smile, and it looks just apocalyptic. But apparently now it's been sold as an NFT. Is that true?
So she sold it. Okay, I looked up the details so we can get this. She was 4 at the time of the photo. She's now 21. Which I did not know. But it's become this big meme for anyone hoping to depict a disastrous scene, of course. She sold the original photo at auction as an NFT with a digital ownership certificate, which we can talk about in a minute, for something close to $500,000. Yeah. Yep.
I mean, good for her.
I mean, good for her, right? She's probably seen her picture all over the internet a bajillion times and not gotten any credit for it. And I'm sure her dad didn't make any money off of it. This is like part of the sort of like internet credit question. So I guess I would say if you know, someone can make money in the short term before this whole freaking Ponzi scheme collapse, then great.
Right. That's exactly it. I'm half full on this specific instance. I'm so empty on NFT.
I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Same.
It's crazy.
Same. Yep. Yes. But good job, me, bro.
Yep.
Next topic is cruise ships.
Nah.
Okay. So I'm going to tell a tale out of school here. And okay. Maybe she's in the comments. Maybe she's listening. But there's a certain Marketplace reporter who guest hosts on this program not infrequently. Who is going to have to go on a cruise. And I'm just going to say, and I'm hoping her mother doesn't listen to this podcast. Well, she's not looking forward to it. That's all I'm saying.
We're praying for her. We are praying for her.
We're praying for her. I'm so empty on I mean.
But here's the thing, right? Like, Kai and I could be empty, and yet people are going on cruises. And so
people are going.
I guess.
Yes.
You know, Jesus, take the wheel. It's going to happen. Cruises are still happening. But if your question is, would I go on one ever in
not
our
in
post-COVID-19 society? Not in a million years.
Not
no.
I swore to myself as I was floating around the Mediterranean Sea on the USS Theodore Roosevelt that I would never pay money to go to sea again. And I will never do that. I'm not going.
As Ramplo in the YouTube chat puts it, I was empty on cruises when the poop carnival got stuck at sea. Exactly.
Oh, I know, right? Yes.
Exactly. But, I mean, they seem to be selling tickets. I don't know if it's going to rebound to the level that it was, but, like, they seem fine. People seem fine with this.
Yeah, they do. Yep, for sure.
No accounting. So I don't know where that leaves us. Mid-full?
High and dry.
Yeah, high and dry. Good one is a boat metaphor. All right, keep it going. Keep it going.
Carbon capture technology.
Ooh.
Well, where did this come from?
This is one's from my show.
I mean,
how exciting.
Okay, good. Is it a newsy thing? Yes, go.
It is a newsy thing, yes. So there has been a lot of talk about the idea that we cannot actually achieve our climate goals. In fact, Greta Thunberg has said this, that the Paris Agreement was designed in a way that we can't actually achieve our net zero carbon emission goals without technology to suck carbon dioxide out of the air and then sequester it in the earth. And it's so far. So we did a pretty half empty interview about it on Tech with a scientist from Oxford who's like, so the thing about that is it doesn't exist yet at scale. And to do it is super duper expensive, like unbelievably expensive. And if we are pinning our entire planet's hopes and dreams on it, you would think that it had been proven to work at scale, but so far it doesn't. And so we should actually just start by putting renewable energy everywhere. It's like one of these like whiz-bang. Elon Musk announced a $100 million X Prize for carbon capture technology. And it's sort of like, I know you want to fix the problem the easy way so that you can just keep living your exact same lifestyle with all the fossil fuels. And get a magic technology bullet for it. But the truth is, we're just actually going to probably have to change the way we live.
So this is a little sideways. And I, you know, we've been doing this for something years now. So maybe I've forgotten. But have we done a Tuesday show on nuclear power?
We haven't, but we totally should.
We totally
I think we
should.
Talked about it.
Yeah. I mean, because the way from here to a carbon-free
we did
future,
do it.
Yeah, I thought so.
Includes nuclear power. We should do it again. Let's do it again. Let's get Bill Gates.
Yeah.
He's a big fan.
Okay.
All right. Why not?
Well, you know.
Okay, so we're half full on Bill Gates talking about nuclear energy and half empty on carbon capture. Done.
There you go. Yes, what Molly said.
All right, the vaccine vacation crunch.
I don't know what that means. That rental cars are really expensive because people are going to take vacations and airfares are going up. Drew, you're going to have to.
I don't know. That's how I would interpret it.
I know. Me too. You know, I did.
Okay.
Kimberly Adams actually.
Note to producers. Sorry. Note to producers. We need to give Drew more information.
Drew needs a net graph, basically.
He's not just the talent, you know. Sorry.
So I will say that.
Didn't we do a story on that this week?
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't listen to the
show.
Know. I just do it.
Kimberly actually sent me an article from InStyle today called the headline of which is Moms Are About to Go Buck Wild. After 14 months of Primal Scream, brace yourself for the Mumspringa. which is the funniest thing I've ever read. It's basically about how, like, as soon as moms get the chance, they're getting on a plane and they're going to spend like 3 days in a bathtub nowhere near their children.
Okay, wait.
So maybe that's what he means by baby. And it's going to be hard for work because we're all going to try to go at the same time.
Okay, so I'm going to tell, I'm gossipy today.
Oh my God, I love it.
So,
dishy.
A certain senior producer of this podcast, who is not presently the senior producer of this podcast, but has been detached for a different program, we were slacking the other day about COVID vaccines. And I got, as I think I've told you all, I just got whacked on Saturday after my Friday second shot. I lost it, like 36 hours of my life.
Oh.
So this senior – oh, yeah, it was fine. I sat on the couch and I was miserable. This senior producer said to me, yeah, I don't care if I have no effects. I'm going to stay in bed and away from my children.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like literally at the point where we would pretend to be sick just to be like, no, no, I can't take care of anyone today.
She said, I can't do it. I feel fine. I'm staying in bed and I'm gonna be not be near my kids. And she's got two very young kids. So, you know.
Yeah. Huh. Yep. So if the vacation crunch is everybody trying to go on vacation at the same time because we are so damn burned out and we're vaccinated and ready to rock, half full. That's going to happen. For sure. All right. What else?
Next.
What else?
How are we feeling about the app stores?
Oh, yeah. You do this one.
Oh, yeah. The European Union just filed charges. I think, like, against Apple over its anti-competitive app store. The United States Senate had some hearings about the 30% fee and whether, you know, Apple unfairly uses its monopoly to kind of control access to other businesses. I mean, it is a very interesting question, right? There's no doubt that these gatekeeper companies, mainly Google and Apple, control our access to other companies. They also invented the economy, the app economy, which didn't exist before. Mm-hmm. And that is for good or for ill, because the apps have been out here collecting data and it could have been mobile web all along. But they made a lot of people a lot of money. I think there probably need to be changes, and I think it would be a lot cleaner if, like, Apple and Google didn't make apps that compete with the apps that are on their app store. So I'm half empty on the idea that the United States is going to do anything about it, but Europe already is, and that's probably going to cause some changes. Yeah.
Yeah. So I agree with everything Molly said, and I will endorse whatever her recommendation was. But the point is that you could fine Apple like $15 billion a day for 100-something days in a row, 200-something days in a row, and it would barely, you know, dent them. And I think that's why I'm like, oh, gosh, the European Union is angry with Apple. I'm like, put up or shut up. And, yes, I appreciate the irony of being in the United States where Congress, you know, can't even spell app. But, you know, if you're serious about it, do something about it.
Also, we have mobile web technology, right? Like, we literally have you could make a pretty fully featured website that would work on someone's phone. And the only reason everyone's so addicted to apps is because they make a lot of money with in-app payments, but also they make a lot of money collecting and selling our data. Like, that's what apps do. Yeah. So maybe it would be great if we all actually broke our addiction to apps and didn't have to, like, fill up our phone with all this junk that we always forget to, like, uninstall that might be collecting information on your kids and whatever. Like, maybe it's great if that economy has to change. I'm out.
Now I have to go uninstall.
I can't remember what the original thing was, though. I guess I'm half empty on app stores.
Yeah, but it was the European.
I lost the thread. Yeah. I mean, the app store is not going to change. Developers, find a new way.
No.
Yep.
Yep.
Easier said than done.
Drew, what else we got? We got one more?
Is that it?
Oh, that was it. That's Drew Jostedt saying, yeah, we're done. Sorry.
Oof. Drew's all. The end.
The end.
Thanks,
I'm
buddy.
Out. All right. Well, look, if Drew's done, we are done. Back on Monday. For now, questions, please, comments, makemesmart@marketplace.org. Emails are fine. Voicemails are better, but all y'all know that.
We do love a voice memo. It's true. Thanks for coming out and hanging out with us in person-ish, which is wonderful. Senator Amy Klobuchar can spell app. That's true. I will say that hearing was actually pretty good. Pretty good. As those
Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. Tony Wagner does production stuff for us. Stephen Bion is our video producer, and our social media intern is Emily McCune. Erica Phillips writes our newsletters, also our Make Me Smart explainers.
If you're new here, you can say, make me smart, and you will get a cool explainer about a cool topic. Today's program was engineered by our Friday co-star, Drew Josted. Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music called The Informant. Donna Tam is our senior producer. The executive director of On Demand is Satara Nieves. I'm certain that none of those are the ones you were gossiping about.
No. They were not the ones I was gossiping about. But wait, there was some tweet today about some guy came out with lyrics to The Informant. Did you see that?
I have to find that. It was really a little embarrassing to get educated on Twitter about like the show that you do every day.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.